Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to the Top Order Podcast. It's that time of the week. Again, it is IPL Power Rankings. The Power Rankings do run out of juice as we get to the bottom of the table, it's fair to say. So the normal order of the day is we are going to talk about all 10 teams in the IPL and where they sit in the Lipshaw Predictive Index. Spoiler alert, there's a couple that don't sit on the index anymore. All coming up on the Top Order Podcast. Stay tuned. Well, and then there were three. It is Messrs. Baldwin, Binks and Lipshaw.
Evening, gentlemen.
This week on the Power Rankings. This is the never-ending tournament. And look, I guess we'll talk a little bit about where we're up to, but 11 games in, the majority of the teams, Rajasthan and Sunrise are still on 10 games, which I think obviously benefits both of them in terms of their future chances for the tournament. Rajasthan sitting at second in the table and Sunrisers fourth at the moment, courtesy of a higher net run rate than Lucknow. But we're going to, I think, kick off with the Power Rankings in the same way that we always do. We're going to start at the top of the Lipshaw Index and talk about the team that's top of the Power Rankings. We will cover the betting as we come into the last three games or four games of the round robin tournament. I think we've also got to just talk a little bit about some of the social media comments that we've got. So a lot of fans unhappy with maybe two or three players going off to prioritise their international commitments ahead of their franchise commitments. So we might unpick that as we go through as well. But Lippy, I'll come to you first as the most prepared man in the room, probably. Who have you got at the top of the Power Rankings?
So I guess it feels to me like this wasn't the most exciting week in the IPL. I mean, maybe that is just a bit of fatigue.
Oh, good. I didn't watch any, so that's good. I picked a good week to tune out.
We're starting to get kind of through lots of games. I mean, I'd be happy for us to spend most of our time kind of sitting here talking about that Sunrisers Rajasthan game, because that was the one that really kind of got me excited and kind of kept me going the whole way through. But I think in many ways it was a clarifying week for me, sort of figuring out, okay, like now I feel like I have a good idea. Obviously, next week things will change, but I feel like I have a good idea, at least in my own head, of who can win this tournament and who really is in that next level down, and sometimes even a next couple of levels down. But I guess you're wanting to know who's at number one, Binksy, and I think this is the moment you've been waiting for a long time. Because I've got KKR at number one, and I think, you know, if we look back at them, they've had a big week in terms of games, and that probably helps them getting up in terms of the way I do my rankings. They've played three games, won all three, beat Delhi, beat Mumbai, and then smashed LSG last night. And I think last week we were kind of talking about how they lost the game when they conceded 260 runs. This, or when they scored 260 and then conceded 260 as well, I think I'm there now with their bowling attack. This week is kind of, I've been spending this whole IPL kind of going, do they have a bowling attack good enough to win this competition? And I think I'm there now, and largely because of the way Chakravarti's kind of come into this these last few games. I talked about him a little bit last week, but I love the way that he's sort of starting to beat people in flight. He's very much a bowler that often can just be skidding it through, or you know, lots of different variations. But if people are kind of picking his variations, he suddenly doesn't seem that threatening. But I love the way he's getting a little bit more flight. It's different than a classical off spinner, but he's starting to beat people and they're skying it up in the air. Mm. And with him and Naren, and then we've got guys like Vaibhav, we've got Harshit Rana. I'm suddenly starting to feel like your man Mitchell Starc had a big moment. I feel like they can do it now. I mean, Binksy, you've been on this island for a while.
Mate, I've been a believer for a long, long time. But yeah, I think that the impressive thing about him, and it seems really strange to say this, he hasn't gone above 10 and over at any point in this IPL. Mm. So, you know, from an economy rate perspective, he's been there and thereabouts. He's picked up wickets in the last three or four games and, you know, has been relatively consistent all the way through the tournament. I think as well, I saw a stat the other day. I think, I don't know whether this was just from the KKR social media and from, you know, from their perspective, but Sunil Naren and Andre Russell now tied at the top of the table in terms of most man of the match performances for the KKR at 15 apiece. Yeah. And I think we've seen those performances from, yeah, some big players for them throughout the course of the tournament. Phil Salt's had a pretty good tournament. Yeah. Dre Russ had a good tournament. Rinku's had a good tournament. Chakravarti's had a good tournament.
Well, I think Rinku's actually had a quiet tournament, but because of the way he hasn't really been needed.
He hasn't been needed, getting
16 off 7.
But he's had the impact that you would have wanted to see from him. So I think the question marks for me really now are, you know, they are going to lose Phil Salt from that team because he's going to go off. So yeah, they've got to kind of probably bring in, you know, something that's, you know, a like for like comparison for a guy that's got 6 scores out of 10 games is going to be a pretty difficult thing to replace, you'd suggest. But yeah, no arguments from me in terms of a really emphatic win. Was it last night against the Sunrisers? So yeah, they're in a
LSG.
LSG. So they're in a pretty good spot. But we are coming into playoffs. So, you know, they are hopefully from their perspective going to get 2 bites of the cherry in the Dominator and the Baconator. Mm. But if not, we're playing knockout cricket. And you know, I think we talked about that in the World Cup, didn't we? India went 10 out of 10 on their road to the final and got pipped at the post by they who shall not be named, the Voldemort of cricket. So, yeah, look, really, really pleased with where my boys are at. Yes, absolutely.
His boys.
I know.
But in fairness, they've been his boys all tournament. In fairness, this is not a bandwagon thing. Binksy's been on them since the start, and they are starting to rise to the top. The thing that I think is going to be super interesting is the rematch against the Royals in their last pool game. Mm. That is when we're really, I think, going to find out whether or not either side foxes and hides a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder if those two are both qualified at that point, both top 2 qualifiers at that point, and we kind of get to, you know, what they decide to do will be fascinating.
Well, I guess it depends whether if they've got to play that game and it's on the line in terms of who finishes top and gets obviously the mulligan, then yeah, of course, I don't think we will see that. But if 1 and 2 are decided, I think, yeah, we might see a bit of resting.
And I think that's interesting from KKR's point of view, because they lost to Rajasthan already in pool play. And mentally, I wouldn't want to concede a game to go 0-2 against a team that I think that I'm going to meet in the final. Mm. I would want to be able to, if I could, put a statement marker down to that other team to go, you know, we beat you last start out, boys. You know, you're only as good as your last game. So I don't know what the strategy is going to be. Smarter minds than ours are going to be working through that process. But for now, for KKR, it's got to be taking care of business against Mumbai, taking care of business against Gujarat, and putting yourselves in the shop window for the finals. And when I say take care of business, I mean win and don't risk injury if you don't need to.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I mean, I think coming back to that point that I made at the start, that the fact that they've bowled Delhi out for 150, well, you know, they've restricted Delhi to 153, Mumbai was 145, LSG was 137. So, you know, that bowling attack really is coming to its own. You know, that ball that Vaibhav bowled to Shea Hope was just an absolute cracker. Mitchell Starc, I think, having that moment against Mumbai, gets hit for six by Tim David, then actually comes back, gets the three wickets, and suddenly, you know, he could see him roaring, like, you know.
It means a lot to him.
Yeah, and I think you can see it because he's had those other moments where he's bowled, you know, massive wides, or, like, he's had some really bad moments in this tournament. Mm. And if he can start to find something, those other young players that are around him, I think, are really, really crucial. I did say we'd probably focus a little bit more on the top teams this week and on not so much on the lesser teams. And just before we finish on KKR, this is probably more of an existential kind of question about T20 cricket. But watching Sunil Narine, obviously he's been fantastic in this tournament with ball and with bat. And I think the bat is where he's getting the most, you know, the most plaudits. The way he's been batting has made me think, No, changing T20 cricket is a bit too far, but I think that his approach, and you know, when you go to look at the IPL website, he's listed as a bowler. He's not even given all rounder status, and it kind of got me thinking that I think the days of, and maybe this isn't even revolutionary thought, the days of Kane Williamson, Steve Smith, maybe even someone like Shubman Gill, unless he adapts his game, that kind of an opener. We might be done.
The caveat I would have, and you can add Joe Root to that list as well, who's not at the tournament either and who's not played T20 for a long time. The caveat is that I don't think until we get to the end of this and someone goes and does the big cricket info piece with all of the stats that we will understand the impact of the impact player rule. Mm. And the impact of the impact player rule, for me, is somewhere in the region of 20 to 30 runs per innings. And has given you a mulligan in your top seven.
Yep, 100%.
There's very few teams that have used a bowler as their impact player. It's predominantly been a batter to get you out of the poop or a batter to keep the momentum going in an innings. So I think...
Or your bowl first and then you bring in your batter.
Yeah. So Sunil Narine, I think, has had that luxury of, you know, they've had that ability. What I think has really set him apart, though, is... The other rule that's come into this tournament is the two bouncers per over. Mm. And if you are not equipped to deal with that at the top of the order, you've got found out, I think. And there's plenty of players. If we go back even in relatively recent history, Michael Bevan famously wasn't a great short ball player, didn't succeed at Test cricket.
For that reason.
Sunil Narine, I think, has grown up in a cricketing culture where there's always been good fast bowlers. And therefore, you know, he has been able to adapt and play the short ball when it's been bowled at him. And then clearly he's got the ability to get that front leg out of the way and just smash the ball through the line. So I don't disagree with you, that it sets an alarm bell ringing, I think, for, you know, some of the players that you've mentioned. But I also think we've got to look at what the impact of that impact player rule has been on the tournament and the format.
There's going to be so much to unpack after this IPL in terms of trends around batting and entertainment value. The key commentary pieces that are starting to emerge are Sam Curran's comments as captain of the Punjab Kings this week, where he said that cricket is becoming like baseball. Mm. Ian Chappell wrote a really interesting info piece on Crick Info today around the comparison between his perception of growing up playing baseball and what he feels modern T20 cricket is like. You know, you don't face many balls nowadays. You've got to try and hit every ball out of the park. What is the value in terms of fielding if, as per his quote, all you're doing is returning the ball back to the bowler after it goes into the crowd? So all of this stuff is worth unpacking at the end of this season. But there's no doubt that the impact player has had a substantial change in the way teams approach batting in this tournament.
Yeah, and I think what will be even more fascinating is we go from this IPL then to go to a World Cup. And some of the players we've just talked about, you know, Steve Smith was picked, you could say, above Jake Fraser-McGurk. Kane Williamson is going to be a fixture in that New Zealand side. And, you know, at the expense of, you know, I don't know, someone like Colin Munro, although, you know, that's a...
Or similar.
Similar kind of player. Tim Seifert, someone like that who's you know, maybe a more explosive player.
So I don't think Smith's in the World Cup squad for Australia.
Yeah.
Is he?
Sorry, Smith isn't. Smith missed out.
McGurk missed out.
McGurk missed out as well, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, 13 minutes in and we're not past team
That's
one.
That's right. Yet. There's a couple that we're going to whiz through, well, so don't worry.
I really hope we're going for my other boys second.
We are. Rajasthan Royals have been fantastic. And look, I don't know that there's too much to talk about with them because probably a lot of the stuff that we'll talk about, because, I mean, they only played one game, reasonably quiet week for them. Just the loss to the Sunrisers, which, you know, as I said before, brilliant, brilliant game. Overall, I think there's still a lot of positives to take out of that game. You know, they kept Sunrisers very quiet early on, which sides, unless they have picked up wickets, have really struggled to do. Sunrisers were halfway through the ninth over at 50 for two, which is, you know, very, very quiet for a Sunrisers side. Travis Head was only on 27 off 27. Things changed a little bit since then. But then they end up conceding 200. They lose two wickets in the first over. Jaiswal and Parag kind of put them back in the partnership. And, you know, the game kind of seesawed a bit from then. But I think even though you've lost that game, you're kind of happy that you're still, as we've talked about this whole IPL, you're still getting contributions from loads and loads of different people. And you're still sitting pretty at the top of that table.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And look, I'd like to think I've been pretty consistent. These have been my two teams all the way through our podcast, and I haven't had a massive amount to shout about. So you know, we're probably going to both go through into the playoff stages, and then CSK going to come through and win it, aren't they? But yeah, I think the key thing for me, Ryan Parag came out of the gates really, really well in the tournament. I wouldn't say he'd gone quiet, but I think him having a hit has been really helpful.
Yep.
I think obviously Yashvi Jaiswal was quiet at the start of the tournament, yeah, and has now kind of come back a little bit, which I think has been helpful. So I think they've got some opportunities and some game time for a couple of players. I think Rob and Powell as well. And so that is boding well for the bench that they might need to use when they do lose Josh Butler for the playoff stage of the tournament, assuming they make it, which we think they will. But yeah, as you said, a quiet week and a loss in that week, but still sitting pretty at the top of the table, or second in the table. And Sunrisers, I think, can go past them tonight, can't they, if they win their game in hand?
No.
They're still on 12.
The other chasing sides are still on 12, as we record this anyway. Our top two are at 16 now. So, yeah, looking very, very good for Rajasthan.
Any concerns for the Royals?
I mean, I don't think so from this week. I mean, they're in the same boat as Binksy touched on. They're going to have to find it, you know, an opener to, or, you know, find a different solution. I think, you know, if you're going to be super critical, I think they got themselves into a position to win this game and probably were on the front foot at one point. It came down to 27. You know, that they were, like I said, they were one for two, I think, at Bhuvi Kumar got those first two wickets. And then they, you know, got themselves back in a situation where Hetmyer and Powell are in. They need 27 off three overs, and you're very much backing the batting side for there. I've got in my notes, Hetmyer hits a huge, huge, huge six, which nearly made it a run a ball.
Yeah, needed 21 off 17, I think, at one point in that over from Cummins.
Yeah, hits that. But then Sunrisers just didn't go away and ended up needing, you know, they ended up needing 19 off seven, but Powell, you know, hits a massive six over cover and kind of gets, me and Raj talked about this a few weeks ago, that line of what you need in the last over to win and kind of where you back the batting side against the bowling side is just getting further and further out. And so 13 off the last over didn't seem that insurmountable.
No.
You know, even that two off the last ball, I think if Powell replays that 10 times in his, you know, over and over again and gets a low full toss, he's probably hitting that, at least getting bat on it and usually hitting it two or over the ropes, but misses it, gets LBW. So, you know, there are lots of little small parts of that game that they won't be happy with. But, yeah, I think we're at this point in the tournament for a side that's been so strong all tournament, I think we'd be kind of picking nits if we tried to pull them apart.
So we've got a nice segue, I think, into the next team on the list, and that is the Sunrisers, is it, Stu?
Yes, it's the Sunrisers for me. And again, only kind of one game for them, beating Rajasthan, as we've just talked about. But I think for them, it was a much bigger result because they're caught in this mix with three other sides now on 12 points. We've got Delhi in behind them on 10. And those sides are all fighting, you know, for that those final three and four playoff spots. In my head, I still have the Sunrisers in this I think this game kind of proves that if they're at their best, they can match it with these top two teams. And I don't quite get there. You know, we'll get to some of these other teams. I think these three teams are now on a, you know, I said things clarified in my head. These are the three teams that I think have pushed up a tier than the rest of the competition. And yeah, I just think that you get big confidence from a game like that. They'll go and, you know, the fact that they, as you said, Pat Cummins, you know, he was in a situation where suddenly they were well behind that game and they just kept on fighting, kept on picking wickets, kept on, you know, and their bowling's been the one that we're sort of not sure about. Even, you know, as I touched on before, their batting started slow, but they found a way. You know, they're getting contributions from Nitish Kumar Reddy. They're starting to come together. They've been a bit inconsistent, but, you know, I think the last six, seven, eight games, they're really starting to put it together.
What happened to Aidan Markram? Because he'd been a fixture of the side all the way through and was left out or injured. I don't know. I know Jansen played, didn't he?
Yeah. Marco Jansen played instead of Markram. I'm not actually sure if that was tactical. I don't know why. I don't think it's a serious injury for Markram. If he was unavailable, it might have been. So listeners can tell us if there was anything going on there. You might be able to even have a look while we're recording. I saw Baldy shaping up to the mic as if he had something important to say.
No, not important. I just wanted to talk about Pat Cummins. Largely because scoring runs has not been a problem for Sunrisers throughout this tournament, but sometimes defending runs has been. Right? Mm. It's, you know, high scoring games, but the other team has made 220, 230 plus in the chases. What was really impressive is that, and not just because I want to talk about Pat Cummins, but he came on and he bowled two overs. He bowled the 16th and the 19th and bowled 2 for 10 across those two overs. And we talked about teams being able to get 20 and over in that phase, seemingly without too much difficulty. He bowled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 dot balls and took two wickets in that and went for 1, 2, 3, 4 singles. You know what I mean? He only went for 1, 6 at the end of that second sort of over that he bowled in that spell.
Yeah.
So for them to be able to come in and start, you know, turning the screws and restricting teams in those death overs speaks to, particularly against the top side, speaks to their ability to foot it, as you said, with those really big names that are at the very tippity top of the table. How close are they, though? Are they in that same tier, Stuart, or are they kind of, you know, KKR and Rajasthan are kind of tier one and these guys are like 1A? Like, how close are they really?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair way to put it, that 1A, in my own estimations. I do think the fact that these other top two sides that we've just talked about going to lose very, very influential players potentially for those playoffs. And yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think the Sunrisers do really in terms of who is going to be there. I think the Sunrisers as well. Last week we talked a bit about how it still feels that they are relatively reliant on that opening partnership in terms of at least getting them a platform for some of these other guys to go. I think it's really, really crucial that Nitish Kumar Reddy has become more, he's been getting consistent runs now the last few games rather than just, contributing once off. I think it's fantastic that Bhuvi Kumar kind of had a bit of a moment in this game. You know, I mean, that ball that skittled Sanju Sampson, you know, to rip out two wickets in that first over to nick off Jaiswal. I think to nick off Butler, I think he's got a fantastic record against Butler, kind of very, you know, which obviously maybe won't be relevant in the playoffs, but, you know, that's huge that he gets that wicket. Yeah. Brilliant ball to get Sampson and then comes back and wins it. And yeah, I do think those moments, like I said with Stark, they give you, you know, as a bowler, they give you huge confidence to kind of go, okay, I was in this position and I delivered, because there are so many other times when, as a bowler at the moment, particularly, you're in those moments where there's 20 off the over and you're having to go, please don't hit me for 6 off this last ball to lose the game.
And yeah, look, that's where the mental strength of, you know, of guys who have played plenty of international and franchise cricket, they are probably going to be able to have that, you know, the Ted Lasso memory like a goldfish. It's the happiest animal in the world. I think the interesting thing for me, you talk about moments, Mumbai Indians have got a lot of influence on a couple of moments in this. They play Sunrisers tonight, and then they also play the LSG as well. So that they could have a pretty decent impact in a way. Obviously, you know, if you're the Sunrisers and if you're Lucknow, you're probably saying, well, it's in our hands to beat the team that's bottom of the table.
Yeah.
But they've got the potential to be a bit of a wounded giant, haven't they?
Yep. So do the Titans.
So yeah, absolutely. So I think that, you know, that's going to be key to how this sort of fourth, I think that's what we're talking about, right? I think
3-4-5.
Yeah, 3-4-5. You'd probably rather be the Sunrisers right now because they have got that game, game in hand to get up to 14 points and they would be third outright with that.
It's a big couple of days for them because, you know, like overnight they play Mumbai, as you said.
Yeah.
And then on Wednesday, so, you know, really short sort of turnaround, they play against LSG and that game feels big, you know? I mean, by this time next week, we'll have a pretty good idea of at least three out of those four spots will be almost confirmed. I mean, we've got two of them now. And yeah, I think that they can basically go and win those two games and put themselves in the playoffs. Yeah. And then you've got nothing to worry about.
100%. I mean, you have a look at the upcoming schedules for both Lucknow and for the Sunrisers, and we'll talk about CSKs in a minute. But Sunrisers have three super winnable games and the Lucknow game.
Mm.
You know, so they shouldn't slip up from here in terms of their form. They may do, but that Lucknow game looms as the deciding factor because Lucknow's got Delhi, who is now a real banana skin team, even if they weren't last week, they bloody well are now. Mm. And they've both, you know, Sunrisers and Lucknow have got Mumbai in their slate, as you said. So, you know, that one game could be the difference between, you know, third and fifth potentially for these two sides.
Totally.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's talk about fifth then on the Lipshaw index.
We're still at fourth.
Oh, we're still at fourth.
But it is a nice segue into Lucknow because, they beat Mumbai this week and that kind of vaulted them into that fourth spot, but then absolutely pumped by KKR overnight and obviously a big hit to their net run rate, which, you know, could prove crucial at this point. And as I said before, I think this is where we start to see a drop off in terms of where the teams that can actually say, we can go out and win this tournament. You know, I sort of still stand by my comments that I've been making all season that they are not quite title winners in you know, the way I see things. And I don't know that they actually have too much more to sort of cover about them. They are a side that is difficult. I think they, you know, it's really sad, I think, for the tournament and for Indian cricket, I'm sure, and for certainly for neutral viewers, that Mayank Yadav came back this week after a bit of an injury and now looks like he's re-injured himself and is out for probably the rest of the tournament. You know, it was such an exciting excitement that he brought to every game that he was playing. And, it's just a shame that he's not there. Baldy, we touched a little bit on Stoinis last week. He, you know, obviously was coming off 100. I think, if you're, you know, you can touch on it more, but what I think you're really excited from a Lucknow point of view is that he's continued that. He's been such an inconsistent player over the last 12 months, I would say.
Over his whole career.
And yeah, probably over his whole career. But, you know, he plays a match-defining innings earlier this week in their win against Mumbai. You know, they got pumped by KKR, but he's now opening the bowling. He's still, you know, scored a few runs last night. Kind of him and KL Rahul had them going for the brief time that they were in that game with the bat. So, yeah, I mean, how are you feeling about him and what we're looking ahead to for how he can? Because I think someone like him is their best chance to winning a tournament like this.
He's going to have to score runs in the semi-final and the final, I think, if they're going to win. I really like that they're starting to use him more as a bowler early on in the innings when the ball does swing. Marcus Stoinis can swing the ball. We've seen him open the bowling for Australia in T20s and bowl maybe one over in that early power play to see if he can swing the ball. So I really like that as a tactical move for LSG. Is it going to make a difference for them in the semi-final? Maybe. But, you know, for him personally, him scoring 124, then 62, then 36 off not many has really justified, I think, his selection in the Australian World Cup team over a guy like Jake Fraser-McGurk, because I think there would be a lot of casual fans who would look at the run that McGurk went on and go, well, he has to be a lock for
I thought
that.
He'd done enough, yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people had thought he'd done enough, but the Australian selectors have said, well, we're going to select Marsh, Warner and Travis Head at the top of the order.
Yeah.
So there isn't really a spot at the top of the order there. We can only carry one really extra batter because we've decided to select Ashton Agar as our second spinner. So that's going to be keeper batter Josh Inglis.
Yeah.
And we've decided that all-rounders, despite what the IPL is telling us, are still important. So we're going to select Stoinis and Marsh and Green.
It's so, really where he bats in the order, right? He only covers that probably one position based on his IPL form and impact on the tournament.
Yeah. And unfortunately for him, he's only 22, and we're getting off topic here, but he's only 22, which means he's not played a lot of cricket outside his comfort zone, right? But but Stoinis now has made runs at three, he's made runs at four. He could potentially bat at five or six for Australia, so he's a little bit more versatile. He's made runs at the right time. And he's got not his team, but the team he plays for are doing well at the moment, which I think also bodes well for him going forward.
I think, Stu, you're a little bit quick to be writing them off, is my view. They've clearly got a massive game against Sunrisers.
They could look, but isn't writing them off in terms. I think they are a decent, obviously a very decent chance of making the playoffs. So I just think there's a step down.
I agree when you kind of look at it on paper and you look at some of the other teams that we've talked about and we will talk about, I think. But from a purely, if you're just looking at this on the table, really big game against Sunrisers. Decent run in for them. They play Mumbai again, and I think Delhi Capitals. So then, as Baldy said, I think you probably don't need two performances out of someone like a Stoinis. You might need one performance, and then
one from
KL Rahul. So I think they're probably. Yeah, well, they are more in it, I think, than some of the other teams that we're going to talk about for sure. But where are we going next, Jay?
We are going to CSK, and they're a side that I've been battling with. It feels like I've been battling with this whole tournament in terms of where they are in my estimations. And I think you could argue that they've had a mixed week because they've lost to Punjab earlier in the week. Then they did bounce back, won last night, reasonably nice win, back up to third on the table because of a good net run rate. But I'm not feeling great about where they are. I mean, just things are starting to go wrong for them. They had a run of games that we thought, okay, they'll like rattle off three or four wins now. You know, I think you want to be beating the Punjab Kings both of those two games. They've lost Mustafiza to international duty. Deepak Chahar's injured. Patty Rana, who is crucial in my eyes to how their bowling attack kind of lines up. It looks like he's gone back to Sri Lanka, I think, with a hamstring injury. Maybe is, you know, I don't know what that means. Maybe is out for the tournament. Hamstrings are, and you know, not, they don't tend to be like, oh, I'm fine now. They tend to kind of drag on.
You're not going to risk him in the playoffs.
Not if Sri Lanka's not going to want to. You know, he's going to be a crucial player for their T20 World Cup hopes. So, you know, what it's meant finally is that we got a Mitchell Santner sighting, which you know, brought a lot of joy to my eyes. Free Mitchell Santner. You know, the quicker he can get out of CSK in terms of actually getting more opportunity for the IPL would be great. Got, you know,
for him.
I love CSK. You know, CSK New Zealand. we're all on board with CSK, but I think, you know, he's stuck. He's just been stuck behind Ravi Jadeja for so long in terms of the roles that they play. But, you know, they're down to now, you know, having to play him, having to, you know, having to sort of battle. You know, Deshpande came back, but look, you know, we're down to kind of Simajit Singh, Mukesh Chaudhary. We're down to, you know, the, you know, Richard Gleeson, for example. You know, I mean, nothing
as a replacement. Hey,
nothing against him.
Nothing there, bad said about Richard
nothing
Gleeson.
Nothing against him, but I think what would, you know, what I'm saying is that we're down to, you know, numbers 6, 7 in your depth chart, whereas, you know, some of these other sides have got your top bowlers and your top players on the pitch, and yeah, they're just not kind of delivering the results I want. And now the injuries are piling up, so I'm starting to get a bit worried about CSK.
Yeah, Richard Gleeson, mate.
Yeah, tell me more about Gleeson, because it's a pretty cool story, right? I think he was playing club cricket at 27, kind of plucked out.
Yeah, so definitely.
Of nowhere.
Yeah, look, definitely a late bloomer, but I think, yeah, when you then look at his T20 stats, he's, you know, he's had more clubs than Arnold Palmer. That's fair to say. He's played in, I think, the Big Bash. I think he's got a couple of teams there. He's played in the South African T20 as well. But yeah, kind of really performed in the 100, which is where I think you probably would have seen him. Get the pickup. But decent economy rate, yeah. It's around about 8s or thereabouts in T20 cricket, and a decent strike rate as well. And yeah, but bowls with a little bit of gas, and then has got those, you know, the change ups that you need if you're going to be a seamer. But yeah, I think from a CSK perspective, again, when I kind of look at, yes, and you've got them probably below the LSG in terms of your rankings this week, which I think feels right. Mm. I think you have had a little bit of affinity bias in the Lipshaw Index over the course of the tournament.
Yes.
And yeah, I think you're finally seeing, not seeing it through the yellow tinted glasses, are you?
Stick your hand on your heart, though, and CSK play LSG today in third place, fourth. Who goes through, do you think? Like, if they play tonight.
I really feel if they play tonight and CSK don't have any of these bowlers, I'm pretty worried. Mm. Like I really think that the loss of those guys is a big concern. You know, yeah, particularly Patirana, he's just such a wicket taking option for them, and they're bowling. I mean, obviously they ended up getting a bunch of wickets against Punjab. Ravi Jadeja picked up wickets, Santner kept them quiet early on, but their side, I think they're. How their bowling attack has struggled this year is not being able to take wickets. They're relatively, you know, decent economy rates. They're solidish bowlers, but they, you know, against these top sides, if you don't take wickets up front, they just rip you to shreds. And you know,
I just throw what might be a conspiracy theory in? I'm looking at the fixtures here. It looks like they play back to back games, 11th and 12th of May. That cannot be right.
Schedules don't lie, Adam.
Don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, if that's true...
And that's tough, though, eh?
If that's true, then I think there's going to be some chat about that from CSK fans.
Well, you have a look at who they play second. They play Rajasthan second on the back of a... Like, on the second night of a back-to-back, you have to back up and play Rajasthan. That's a tough fixture.
That can't be right. That must be a typo on Cricket Info.
That's a tough fixture.
Where are we going next?
We are going to Delhi, and to be honest, the only reason they're here is because they're the only other side that I think technically has a chance to still make the playoffs. I certainly don't think on the basis of this week, there's a side below them that has outperformed them. You know, they won game this week, big loss to KKR. That net run rate is just looking very sick in terms of, you know, trying to get into those spots. They've got a massive game against Rajasthan coming up. I think they probably have to win out from here because of that net run rate. You know, I don't think they can afford to be tied with the teams above them because of the way that things are playing out. Because of the fact that they only played one game, because of the fact that they kind of got absolutely pumped in that game. I don't have too many new things to say about them. I just think that they're a side that still feels with the likes of, you know, Fraser McGurk. I mean, Prithvi Shaw, if he ever is able to last past 10 balls, he seems to, I think, 3 games in a row now, he's hit the first ball for 4. Often he hits the first, second and third ball for 4. But then, you know, I think he got strangled down the leg side. in this game. He just can't kind of get himself going for long enough. But they've certainly got the firepower that can beat any side on their day and still prove the banana skin that we've kind of been talking about for a while. But they just don't feel like a side that's consistent enough to kick on.
Yeah, they need other results to go their way. I think if you look at the permutations, if they beat Rajasthan, obviously they're not going to overhaul them. RCB are below them on the table. And then, yeah, really they can only get up on Lucknow, Sunrisers, yep. Chennai.
Yep.
And they're going to need a lot of shit to go in there, yeah, in their favour. But, you know, as we will talk about through, you know, Mumbai and Gujarat, there are those, you know, those potentials for them to be, yeah, but banana skins, I guess. And again, there's a little bit to play for. You talk about the likes of a Jake Fraser-McGurk. Injuries can happen. Those World Cup squads don't need to be finalised. I think I'm right in saying until the 25th of
something
May.
Like that. Yeah, end of the month.
You know, someone does a digit or, you know, drops a jar of salad cream on the foot or something like that.
Slips in a shower.
Exactly. On a first tee at the, you know, a golf day, it could all happen.
It could. I mean, Marsh is battling an injury now from that same team. So, you know, not a lot would have to go wrong for Jake Fraser-McGurk to become part of that Australian World Cup side. I tell you what, they should be buying drinks for the Mumbai Indians and Gujarat, Delhi Capitals coaching team, because the teams above them on the ladder both played Delhi Capitals and or Mumbai on the way home. And then Delhi have got Lucknow in their last game of the tournament. So, you know, Gujarat and Mumbai can do Delhi some huge, huge favours by upsetting the apple cart there. One thing I will say, though, I wouldn't want to play Delhi on 5-6 days rest, because they finished their group stage on May 15th. KKR and I think also Rajasthan don't finish their last games on May 20th. So they're going to have a full 5 days off to get relaxed, refreshed, have a couple of games of golf before they've got to go and play any finals cricket. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to face those guys on 5-6 days rest. They'll be ready to roll.
Last sort of point on Delhi, I did think it was rather unfortunate day for Lazard Williams. He went for 23 off his first over, and then the first ball skies up in the air, drops Phil Salt. It just felt like one of those moments that, you know, you just want the earth to kind of swallow you up in those situations. So, yeah, I sort of felt this is me sharing a bit of sympathy for him as a cricketer.
Yeah, they're never fun.
No.
Should we blitz through the guys holding up the table? They must be pretty strong teams to be seven teams on their shoulders.
Yes, look, I think we can kind of whip through a couple of these teams. Punjab certainly are a side that they're in here at seventh for me. They've actually been playing much better cricket, I think. I've got RCB is who I've got. I've just turned the wrong page.
I was going to say, because RCB have won three on the trot and they haven't been able to win a game all season.
RCB is the side that that actually is starting to perform and starting to become that team that you don't want to play. You know, comfortable win against Gujarat, that horror start to the season. Yeah, as you say, you just do not want to play them right now. And obviously, look, everyone loves watching Virat and Faf score runs. But I've actually loved watching Mohammad Siraj come back to form in these last couple of games. He's someone I've always enjoyed watching. I've seen a spinner. I much prefer watching spin, but Siraj, I don't know, just has something about him. He plays with a passion when he runs into bowl. Plays with his heart on his sleeve, as Baldy's kind of signing to me right now. And yeah, it's he you made jokes earlier on in the season, Binksy, about him getting having to sit on the sidelines because he had a sore neck, looking up into the stands, and that's how it was going for him, for RCB in general. But you know, he's been fantastic the last couple of games, and I mean, it certainly bodes well for India looking forward to this T20 World Cup, because Jasprit needs some help, obviously, in the seam bowling department. They've got Ashdeep Singh as well, kind of in that mix too. But yeah, having a healthy and rearing to go Mohammad Siraj has certainly kind of transformed this RCB, and suddenly they look like a side that can actually, you know, take some wickets up front. I think they had GT, 19 for three in that game. And
we've talked a hell of a lot about their bowling throughout the course of the tournament, haven't they?
Most of it's been negative.
Yeah, and what they've needed to do. But Baldy, I promise you, this isn't just an opportunity to have a go at an Australian. But the returns of both Maxwell and Cam Green for the money that they've gone for in this tournament, have to be a concern for the RCB in terms of the way they've maybe managed that auction purse or got the best out of them. I don't know the answer, but poor return on investment from those two guys in the tournament.
The cost per run, cost per wicket is, they're paying a lot of dollars for what they're getting in terms of a return. So it has been a down season for both of those guys. We don't really know if Cameron Green is a finished product yet at T20. He's not the finished product. I don't think he's mounds of potential.
But what's his role? What do you think his role is? I think that's where I've struggled with him because, obviously he's an all-rounder, so he can contribute with bat and ball, but it's
with the ball also? Where does he bowl, right? In terms of... Does he bowl in the power play? Does he swing the ball early doors? Maybe not really. What's he bowl in test cricket? He bowls pretty good channel, 5-6 stump and maybe nibbles it about a bit. Is that an effective T20 bowling length? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. So like I say, from a bowling perspective in particular, he's not the finished product yet. We've seen what he can do with the bat in terms of that 100 that he got from Mumbai to get them into the playoffs last year. It was a huge, huge moment for him. But again, he's not the finished product, and I think he suffers from being shuffled up and down the order a little bit when teams are trying to find the best place to deploy $3 million contract, right? And you've got guys around him that maybe are underperforming a little bit in terms of, Maxwell or Pattidar or whoever it is. And so he's also then trying to plug gaps, but he's only got one game to do it because if he doesn't perform at 4, he'll get dropped down to 6 or then he'll get thrown up to 3 and then all that kind of stuff. For me, I think his best position probably is at number 3. I don't think he's a great middle innings fixer number 4 in the way that some of these other guys are. And I don't know yet whether he's a tremendous finisher in the way that some of the guys from Punjab Kings are tremendous finishers, for example. We haven't seen the best of him yet. And unfortunately, the experimentation that's happened around where he's batted in the order this year has meant that is part of the reason why he's underperformed because he hasn't got any consistency. But he's also not stepped up and delivered match-winning performances often enough to get these guys anywhere near within a sniff of the playoffs, even though they've won 3 on the bounce.
I think he's a fantastic cricketer, and I think he's going to be a 3-format player over the course of his career. But I just think he's one of those more traditional guys that's going to take a little while, probably until he gives up a format, to be, really earning the coin that he needs to. He's only played 40-odd T20s.
In his career,
And that's not a lot in the context of, some of these guys that have played 300, 400, 500 of them. And as you say, Baldy, in the middle order, that's where you really need that experience of what you're doing in that situation. If you're at the top of the order, it's a little bit different. You're just going out just bashing. He's a better player than that. But I don't even find his role with bat or ball. Yeah,
it'll be a while before I think we really land on what's most effective for him. And from an Australian perspective, there aren't going to be that many opportunities for him to open the batting going forward. I don't think because Australia, even without David Warner, have got 3, maybe 4 guys at the top of the order that would lock themselves in ahead of him.
Last final point on RCB, and I don't think. I was going to say Virat Kohli doesn't need any more praise because he gets a lot, but he also gets a lot of criticism. I circling back to that point of traditional openers and things like that. I do think Kohli deserves some credit for the way he's been able to develop his game. I think Raj and I, maybe even last week on the podcast, we talked about I think he scored 51 off 43 at one point, one of the games, forget against who, and that seemed a bit slow. But I think, if you look at his record over the last couple of seasons, he's averaging, his strike rate was 140 last season. It's up to 148 now this season. And the way he's going about things, he's playing more aggressive shots and he's trying to utilize that power play. He does, once he gets through the power play, he still kind of knocks it around a bit more maybe than some people might like. But the way he's been able to develop his game, I do think he deserves some credit for.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be fascinating to see whether or not he is the first choice or one of the first choice openers for India come World Cup time.
I don't even think this is a...
That's not even a...
I don't think it's even a question. The guy's got 7 scores in 10 games.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
They might do something crazy.
Only Phil Salt is better.
There you go. Fair enough.
Righto, so it's Punjab now.
I don't know. You've got the list.
Yeah, I think it is Punjab now.
Your list and you're holding it.
And there's not a huge amount to say about them, apart from, as I say, that they've played CSK. We talked about those two games. I think that they're a side that, as I said, started to play a bit better, and I think that largely that's down to a lot of the guys that we've talked about all season in terms of their batting, and like the guys like Prabh Simran and Shashank Singh. I think they've actually, as much as they've struggled in this tournament, I think they've kind of found a nice core of local players that I think they can kind of go ahead with in terms of, those guys, as Ashutosh. Yep. And particularly this week, the spinners have stood out, and especially Rahul Chahar. He's taken, 3 wickets in the last couple of games. Certainly that first game when CSK were trying to really get going, Dhoni was in. I've been pumping up the Dhoni batting case all year, but this week was not a good case, not a good example of him for this. Yeah, had to have to quieten that down a little bit.
No, that was for me. Oh, I'm trying not to say anything.
Yeah, well, look, Chahar, in a way, not figured him out, but certainly was able to bowl to his weaknesses, kept the ball away from the zones that Dhoni wanted, and bowled it, bowling in the 19th over when someone like Dhoni, when Moeen Ali was trying to get stuck in and really elevate that innings, keeping that score. I think he only went for 3 in that over, and the first game that Punjab did win this week, that was really, really big in terms of keeping it down to a manageable total. And, him and Brar, I think, have been really nice. Brar not so good last night, 19 runs off his only over. But still, the fact that those two, you add them to all the other ones that we've named, you just throw in Ashdeep Singh, and suddenly there actually is.
They've got a really good core of Indian players. Yep. I think when you look at it, it's their 4 overseas players that have let them down throughout the course of the tournament. Yep. We've talked about it. Not a couple of performances from Johnny Bairstow. Sam Curran's been all right. Rabada's been hot and cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Riley Russo. So, that's really where they've struggled, I think, is probably getting the value for money out of their overseas players, which, has hurt them as much as it's probably hurt. To an extent, who we were just talking about, Delhi. Mm.
I feel like for these guys, they feel like a really, really good League One football team. I don't follow football a lot, but they don't have any superstar local players. They've kind of got a group of core players that are all playing really, really well together. If you add a superstar player,
no Darwin in for a while,
superstar overseas, you put Josh Butler in that side, and all of a sudden it looks like a really, really different cricket team. You know what I mean? The auction can't come quick enough for these guys to refresh, I think, some of their overseas contingent, maybe even just 1 or 2.
Well, that kind of backs up your point, isn't it? Because Bairstow, I think you'd say a year ago, 2 years ago, Bairstow and Rabada were those ones, right? With the ball, you wouldn't want, too many other people than Rabada, and same with 100%. Johnny Bairstow. And 100%. Yes, just hasn't happened for them.
Yep.
So 7 losses in their last 7 games. Where are we going next? Because it's one of these two teams right down the bottom.
Yeah, Gujarat Titans I've got above Mumbai, but, that's only because they're higher than them on the ladder. Both sides, I think, are struggling to the same level. Gujarat, I don't even know that there's too much more to talk about with them because they lost to RCB and they're just not looking like a side with any firepower at all. They were 23 for 3 after the power play in that RCB game. Saha, Sai Sudarshan, Shubman Gill all in the sheds. Miller and Shahrukh Khan put on a bit of a partnership, kind of gave it some respectability to Atia as well, but they're just not getting close enough, and it's just been a super disappointing campaign. Unless you guys have anything to add, it just hasn't been good for them, and they've kind of got 3 games to, I guess,
pride
for pride and for some individuals to get a little bit of form for some of those people going into the World Cup, get a bit of try and get their positions for next year.
Yeah, and look, you've seen them do that a little bit. Josh Little, I think, came in for this last game and did well.
Enjoyed that.
And we talked about Noor Ahmed, didn't we? So again, nice to see him get some game time, but yeah, there's not a massive amount to write home about, is there? And there's an expansion at some point as well to 12 teams. So look, that's got to be a conversation that we have about. I think so. Yeah,
maybe.
I think they're talking about
listeners and viewers.
I'm pretty sure further expansion of the IPL planned. So yeah, be interesting to see how that that talent kind of spreads if that's the case. We're going to talk about Mumbai. Anything to talk about on Mumbai?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the thing with Mumbai, I suppose, is that they've had two games, two more losses. This time, LSG, KKR. I guess on paper, those are not horrendous teams to lose to. You know, two of the sides that are in the conversations for the playoffs, but they've just gone off the rails big time, right? They find themselves rooted to the ladder, and you know, we've been talking about their bowlers struggling all season. This time it was the batters. You know, now the batters are struggling as well since they've named the World Cup squad. Some of those batters have fallen off a little bit as well. Sky actually at least put a bit of respectability into the KKR game. You know, they were 70 for 6 at that point, and then Sky actually, you know, starts playing some brilliant shots and gets them up to a, you know, somewhat respectable total. But yeah, I guess the thing that probably I'm wondering the most out of them is where has Tushara been all season? It's bizarre to me that it's taken us this long to see him. I'm not saying he's the difference and he would have changed the course of things for Mumbai. But, you know, when you watch him bowl and then you watch and you think about some of the players that they've had, you know, even, you know, nothing against Quinamapaka because he's 17 years old. But like, how does that decision even get made? I just don't even know how you could have this guy sitting on the sideline, and even in terms of your balance of your side, like, why are you picking DeWalt Brevis when you've got when you need bowling and you've got someone like Tushara on the sidelines? You know, maybe I'm sitting here and he had niggles or something. There was a reason why he didn't play early on, but I think really that there's got to be some questions asked, and I think there's got to be some questions asked about Boucher and the way he's kind of managed this squad throughout. I know a lot of the, you know, again, a lot of the conversations we've had have been about Hardik and disruption and, yeah, certain players not kind of performing. But I think you've also got to kind of look internally and think about some of the decisions that they've made in terms of personnel and the way they've tried to build some of the tactics around this stuff. And
It's a really fair point you make. And I don't want to be too harsh on Hardik Pandya, but he's gone from Gujarat to Mumbai this season and he's made both sides worse. In so doing, right?
Looks like it.
Like from a results on the field point of view, he's made both sides worse. He was Gujarat were great under Hardik. Mumbai are last on the table. Gujarat are only just above them on the table. So if you have a look, if your record is your record, it hasn't been a good year for Hardik Pandya fans or Mumbai fans because they have just not had a great season. And as you say now, the bowling was a weakness. It's starting to look like it's not as bad as first thought when we made a couple of adjustments, but it's taken them 11 games to find that. They still haven't found the right balance of their batting on a consistent basis. They've got names all up and down their batting lineup. They should be better. We thought they would be better. I think everyone thought they would be better at the start of this tournament, and they've had a disappointing year by their standards, by their fan standards, and I would almost certainly say by their owner's standards. So at the end of the year, who knows what's going to go on in that retrospective.
Yeah. I guess the interesting thing is they're trying to build this infrastructure globally, aren't they, with you know, teams all over the world. But where you've got a rule where you're only going to play four overseas players, that kind of, you know, it means that you're not doing what some of the football teams do when they're trying to build that sort of franchise. I'm talking about the Man Cities of this world, the Chelsea of this world, who have invested money in other countries.
Yeah.
They can do that to an extent in terms of having a franchise, but it's not really going to help with player ID from a, you know, on a global basis, is it? You might find a up and coming all rounder that's one of your four, but it's not like you can pick them all.
Not unless the local Indian players start to transition around the world
correct.
As well.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So I think it'd be interesting to see what that infrastructure looks like, because it might be that the owners are actually sitting in the background going, do you know what? This is about a dynasty. This is about a global, you know, franchise and a product and something that's recognizable, and we want to build it in that way so that we're successful in the Dubai T10. We're successful in the South African T20. We're going to buy a 100 team, you know, at some point. So it'd be interesting
to see.
And that might be where they're.
Malwina, Brevis kind of.
Exactly.
They have, and certainly Brevis, they've invested in him in terms of giving him game time for quite a long time now.
And that's where I think having those young players, the young 17 year olds of the world, the 18, the 22 year olds, and going, actually, we're going to have you in our squad for the IPL. You might only play one game, but now we're going to contract you and you're going to go and play in South Africa and Dubai and the West Indies. And then in 2 years that we see you as being our number four or our, you know, our strike bowler or whatever it happens to be. And that's the journey, I think, that, you know, forward-looking teams will be trying to get their players on.
And that's how then you have to evolve how many of those players you can play in each of those tournaments and make it not about overseas players anymore in a particular domestic competition, that you've got the ability, if they are your franchise player, they can play for any of your franchise teams regardless of nationality. And then that's a different proposition altogether. But I don't think that that's the case for the owners. I think that, you know, they've invested some big money on some big players and they haven't performed on the big stage of this IPL. Can I ask a question? Because we did get a couple of comments in the social media and it's been flying around a little bit. Are we at all concerned that there's players pulling out of this, 84-game tournament with a few games to go to prioritise a World Cup? What does that say about the window? Should it be shorter? Does it devalue this in any way for you guys?
Do you want to go or do you want me to have a go?
I think it's a bit weird, personally, that there's supposed to be an IPL window. Why is Bangladesh playing, you know, a month long of international fixtures in terms of, you know, thinking about Mustafizur? Maybe that's, you know, I do think that's a bit strange, you know, why that is happening. You know, when you see sides like Pakistan and New Zealand have regularly now in the last couple few years played.
Had to play during the window,
And Pakistan obviously doesn't have players in this tournament, and New Zealand just sends, you know, their B and C team, as people have been calling it. I think personally for New Zealand, they've been great opportunities for players like that are on those fringes to go and contribute. Now I'm getting off track and answering your question. I think it's just something that teams have to deal with. They know that this situation is going to happen. You know, they, like for Phil Salt, for example, they've obviously decided that's fine. Like, we're happy to, they could have picked, KKR could have gone, okay, well, you're not going to be here at the business end. We want to invest in Gurbaz and make him our opener and put him in throughout the whole time. They've gone, Phil Salt, you're too good and too valuable. It is interesting to me that, teams, and I guess that England squad hasn't been picked yet, for the World Cup, obviously, but hasn't been picked for Pakistan?
They've said it's the same squad as the provisional World Cup squad.
Okay. It is interesting to me that those guys aren't, like, I would have thought for an England team, someone like Phil Salt playing in a knockout game in the IPL is potentially more, you know, better practice for a knockout World Cup kind of scenario that they might face.
Yeah, look, it's interesting because the rhetoric, you know, from Rob Key has been playing franchise cricket is the best thing to be doing to prepare, even for test cricket, apparently. But I think that this is slightly different in that they felt they were not as cohesive going into that 50-over competition, they actually want to
get such a short turnaround as well.
They want to get the guys together. But just interesting that there's a lot of criticism, and I think ultimately I think this has got to come back down to the scheduling piece. We can talk about the politics behind it, but if Pakistan were involved, they wouldn't be needing to play international cricket during this period of time. I don't think that's ever going to happen, obviously. And then clearly, if teams do, you know, want to play international cricket during that period of time, then I think we've got to talk about the, you know, if you really want a window, you're going to have to shorten the length of your tournament to get a window that everybody's available for the whole of.
Yeah, no one else has a window long. So
But by the same token, no other international tournament makes as much money as the IPL does. True. for the IPL or its owners or the global cricket coffers that benefit.
But none of this goes into the global cricket coffers, does it?
Pass.
Well, I would say
I don't know is my answer.
Thinking about
indirectly, maybe.
Yeah, I would say indirectly from a New Zealand point of view, in the sense that we can't afford to pay our players some of the revenue that other countries are able to play, and I think that the fact that they are able to get IPL contracts in a way, and that New Zealand doesn't restrict them from going and doing that, and makes sure that, you know, some of these other tournaments they don't give them permission to go and play in. But I think the IPL has always been the place where you get an IPL contract, you can go and fulfill that, and we're happy to do that because it, you know, boosts your wages, and then you can kind of go on and still be representing New Zealand as often as possible, and still get the money that you believe you deserve.
Well, guys, we're going to bring this in just about an hour, which is a record for us. And we will be back later in the week, won't we? I think probably Thursday or Friday as we get really close to the end of the round robin stage. And I know I said to you, surely we must be at the point where we can
still 2 weeks
do a preview for the semi-finals, but we're still some ways off there. If you get onto the betting sites, I'm pretty sure only the Mumbai Indians have actually been removed from the betting from a mathematical perspective. If you do want to have a little punt on Gujarat or the Punjab Kings, you can get 400-1. And that's because there's a bloody good chance they're not going to win. But Rajasthan and Kolkata Knight Riders sitting pretty at the top of the betting. Can't be separated at 2-1. Chennai are always there, no matter where they are on that. On that table, coming in at 5-1. So we'll see where we're at as we get to 14 games played per team. See if our 8 wins prediction is where the line finishes. And I'm sure we'll preview the semi-finals, the playoff stages at least.
I think we'll have a pretty good picture next week.
By next week, we will, won't we?
Yeah.
All right, but for now it is good night and God bless from us all here at the Top Order podcast. Do jump into the back catalogue if you want a bit more cricketing news, views and interviews. We've got some awesome interviews actually from some IPL greats. Mike Hussey, go and watch the Mike Hussey episode, an hour with an Australian genius. And I won't say that too often in the same sentence. But for now, it is good night.
Just there.
Well, exactly. It is good night and God bless. We'll see you next time on the Top Order podcast. Good night.
Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.